This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The five demands are simple. Stop gender discrimination, destroy rape culture and sexual violence, stop environmental destruction, fight for equal opportunities and equal wages, uphold our rights of leadership and democracy. In conjunction with International Women's Day 2018, I find out about the growing movement of women advocating for change. From Subhatra Jayaraj, she's an exco member of the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Shakira Shauki, who is from Gerakan Pembebasan Wanita. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Hi, thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. Yes.
My pleasure. So, you know, we just celebrated International Women's Day yesterday.
Yes.
What does that day mean to the both of you? You know, there's a lot of noise surrounding the day and all of that, but what does it actually mean to the both of you as women, you know, working in women's rights?
Well, to us, it is not just a symbol of a woman's struggle that has happened 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, but it's also to continue the struggle that we are facing now today. And just a brief of history of International Women's Day. It started off 1917 in October, where women workers went down to the street, organized strikes. And from that, it sparked to another revolution, which is called marked today is labor movement, May Day.
Yes. What about you, Subha? How do you feel about that?
To me, International Women's Day is a day that we celebrate all our success along the way and all our struggles. And it's a day for all women, including women of ethnic and religious minorities, women with disabilities, queer women, trans women, and women of lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So we want to celebrate every person that identifies as a woman and be the best that we can be.
Yeah, because I think, you know, a lot of things that you see on International Women's Day is, where's Men's Day? Why aren't we celebrating the men? Why aren't we, you know, celebrating equality? And another thing I constantly hear is, what are you women wanting some more? You know, look at all of you. You have everything. You know, we've come so far. But how do you feel about those sorts of comments?
It might come as a surprise to everyone, but there is actually an International Men's Day in November.
Yes.
However, in why we get the question of why we have to celebrate International Women's Day, I think it's time that we reclaim our space and stand up. And women have fought successfully along the years. We have many social, economic and political gains. But however, women are still being severely oppressed and we've seen as inferior and in a lower social status, especially comparing to cisgender men. And women all over the world continue experiencing physical and mental threats every day.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, Shah?
Well, it's, yeah, like what Subha said, it's interesting that that people would raise that kind of question. Because, like I said, according to the history, 100 years ago, their demands was, for example, like child labour, as well as rights to divorce, which now we are having it today. And nursery, for example, are the kinds that men is also benefiting from it. So International Women's Day, a woman's struggle does also affect women, where women's demands will affect men's lives as well, livelihoods as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I mean, maybe you can tell me a little bit about the work that the both of you do through your respective organizations. So maybe we can start with you, Shah.
Okay. So Gerakan Pembebasan Wanita, we focus on grassroots organization and grassroots movements. So what do we do is that we went out with these leaflets to factory workers and also some students, and we call them to join on this Women's March. And of course, we together built our demands, and of course, we built together our solidarity action so that more people, grassroots people, will come for this Women's March.
So I guess, am I correct in saying it's sort of targeting the women who maybe might not see things in like social media, for example, who are not maybe don't have access to these sorts of things as well?
Yes, correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So possibly also from a lower income demographic as well.
Lower income demographic, migrant workers, mm-hmm. and indigenous group, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, very all-encompassing, mm-hmm. pretty much. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, Subha, AWAM's been around for a long time, but, you know, for anyone unfamiliar, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work that you guys do.
Yes, AWAM stands for the All Women's Action Society. We are an independent feminist organization committed to improving the lives of women in Malaysia. AWAM's programs focus on sexual harassment, gender-based violence, And we also have programs in politicization of ethnicity in religion, mm-hmm. Focusing on patriarchy and how it affects Malaysian women all over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's quite all-encompassing as well. That's a lot of work that you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess in your line of work, do you, I would say this is an obvious question, but do you also identify as feminist? And, you know, what does being a feminist actually mean to the both of you?
Well, I'm a nursery teacher, so understanding feminism is pretty difficult for me with my time. I don't really read all those things. But I do believe that women need more space in economy, in politics. They need to be part of this democratization of society. So whether I'm a feminist or not, maybe it is not important. But the struggle, the solidarity that we can break out of this system, I think is the most important question in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you, Supa?
I am a feminist. I see a desperate need to go against the power structures that are based on gender, not only for people who identify with women, but multiple layers of gender minorities. I work in sexual and reproductive health and rights. I see how inequalities in gender and also in income affect the right to health to everyone. So I feel it is important that we address all these, and I believe that feminism is one lens that we are able to solve problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and why do you think all these sort of inequalities exist, you know, especially, you know, focusing in the sexual and reproductive health segment? We saw what happened with the global gag order, you know, which happened last year with President Trump, you know, signing that, and how the repercussions are obviously felt by, you know, developing nations, you know, and it's women only really who are being affected by this. And how did that kind of make you feel?
It makes us feel angry. When I say us, I would say the global feminist, mm-hmm. and even Malaysian feminist. And I would say every section of the community probably had repercussions from the global gag. It just shows how all our issues are actually very interconnected and global currently. Feminism looks at every issue, mm-hmm. Not only from a woman lens, but what we are saying is that we need more equality. So even looking at healthcare, there is a lot of medical patriarchy in healthcare, and that extends to every industry, including the education sector. Why don't we see enough women representation in politics? Even in women's expression gets regulated at every individually and even in the community. Mm-hmm. So whatever happens in other places, for example, the global gag, has great repercussions to the woman living in the Orang Asli village down the road.
Yeah, for example. Yeah, because it's sort of like policing women's bodies, isn't it? And, you know, not actually taking into account the lived realities that affect these decisions that these women need to make. Like, you can just say, okay, yes, you cannot have an abortion, but what if it's somebody who is a victim of incest, for example? Or just simply, you know, why is my choice whether I want to have a child or not, you know, being decided by some man somewhere, mm-hmm. essentially?
So the struggle is actually on our bodies as the core point, but also extending to society. Mm-hmm. And although we see negative developments all around, the solidarity and the response from the feminist community and from all different struggles, actually, towards any oppression or that is seen towards women is quite inspiring. Mm-hmm. As a response, for example, to the global gag, there's increasing organizing. People are organizing against, for example, the TPP because it relates, there's so much interconnectivity in trade and medicine and industry. So there is positive developments in the struggle, and we hope this International Women's Day we can bring up these struggles and celebrate how we come together and are in solidarity together.
Mm-hmm. I was next week's show. I'm speaking to Siva from Arrow, and she actually they have a campaign called She Decides, which was started in Europe actually by ministers there in response to the global gag rule. So there's a lot of like you said, there's a lot of movement happening. There's a lot of good that came out from this very terrible signing. I'm speaking today to Subhatra Jayaraj. She's an EXCO member of the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Shakira Shauki. She's from Gerakan Pembebasan Wanita. And after this quick break, we are going to find out more about the Women's March 2018, which is happening tomorrow. We'll find out more after this quick break. You are listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Subhatra Jayaraj. She's an EXCO member of the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Shakira Shauki, who is with Gerakan Pembebasan Wanita. And we are kind of, we've been discussing the work that both the ladies do, and now we're going to discuss the Women's March 2018, which is actually happening tomorrow. So tell me a little bit about this. You know, I think we all remember the Women's March started last year after President Trump's inauguration. So maybe for those unfamiliar, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the background of that.
It will happen on the 10th March, on this Saturday, 10 a.m. and in front of SOGO, we will gather there. And then so we will march to a point which we will not announce it yet. It depends on the situation. And then at the end of the march, we are going to have a public speech where participants can come forward and have their own speech. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And what is it that you are hoping to get from this march? I mean, you know, in my intro, I mentioned five demands, which mm-hmm. I think are being made through all of this. So maybe we can walk through, maybe you can walk us through those five demands.
So the Women's March Committee 2018 have agreed on the theme of Reclaim Our Space mm-hmm. for this year. We chose it because we see an increasing limitation, regulation and control of the women's participation in a multitude of areas. For example, physical spaces are not safe. The environment is being destroyed. Digital spaces have become a new outlet for trolling and harassment. And even spaces to make decisions over our own bodies, we see greater control. So with this theme, Reclaim Our Space, or Tuntut Semula Ruang Kita, we hope that everyone, including those who are not in the forefront and not able to get their voices heard, come and reclaim their space. And we have five demands that you mentioned earlier. So our first demand is to eliminate gender discrimination. We saw an appalling lack of commitment in the recent CEDAW review in Geneva. That was the Convention on Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. We do not see commitment on the part of policymakers. We'd like to reiterate that ratification of CEDAW does not only mean signing a piece of paper. It includes implementation into policymaking and accountability mechanisms at every level. So that's what we want. And we want the elimination of gender discrimination not to just be tokenistic. Our second demand is to destroy rape culture and sexual violence. With the Me Too movement that we've heard over the past few months, we haven't actually seen the Me Too movement being given space outside urban areas, and especially in what we see as marginalized voices. Mm-hmm. Sexual harassment does not just happen in the elite and entertainment sector. Sexual harassment happens at every facet of Malaysian society, in offices everywhere, in the civil service, in hospitals, in factories and in plantations. And where are the voices of the Me Too movement in that? And are we having the conversations and giving space to everyone who identifies as a woman to come out and speak? So the third demand that we have is to stop the destruction of the environment. Mm-hmm. We are very proud that the environmental movement in Malaysia is very women-led. And we'd like to say also that climate change is a women's issue, and that environmental destruction is a women's issue. And research has shown that climate change disproportionately negatively affects women. We want those women's voices to be heard as well. On Wednesday, we had a forum for Tuntut Semula Ruang Kita, and we had the panelists from the Orang Asal community and also from the women migrant workers. And it was very heartening to see how they were struggling and their voices championing against logging mm-hmm. and how it's affecting the Orang Asli community throughout mm-hmm. Malaysia.
It's interesting because obviously their voices aren't really heard very much, isn't it? And when you do hear them, they are being sort of branded as anti-development or, you know, those sorts of things, which is really quite appalling because, you know, these are their spaces, their sacred places as well, which are being taken away without without them being given any sort of replacement or, you know, any sort of consideration into these decisions, right?
Exactly. And if their voices are not heard, their needs are not put in into policy. Mm-hmm. Even if their needs are heard, how are they holding the policymakers accountable? Yeah. So that's why, it's important to have representation for every marginalized community and everyone who's oppressed.
Reclaim their space, essentially, right?
Yes.
The fourth demands that we've put out is strive for equal opportunities and wages. There's actually been a research about gender discrimination on wages. Say if there's a male worker gaining ringgit, then a female worker will be getting only 70 cents for the same job that they're having. So this is obviously a gender discrimination. Mm-hmm. And there's also this other questions like opportunities in workplaces and opportunities in political spaces. And when we spoke about political spaces, we always speak about this two political party system. But what we are seeing, this is also explaining for the fifth demands, which is to strengthen the right of political space and democracy for all. So coming back to the two political party system that we were saying just now. So what we are seeing is not only that we are looking for democracy in the parliamentary, but also in the grassroots where there's a democracy in the working places, for example, like factories, or in offices where trade unions, there will be more participation of women in trade unions, for example. Yes, so that would cover the two demands that all the five demands that we have spoken of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also a call for better representation of women in politics, I believe.
Correct, yes. To strengthen the right of political space and democracy for all. Correct. So that would come back to what I said just now, the parliamentary system where the policy making is only happening over there. But it feels for the ordinary people like myself, it feels very far that we could not participate in. Yeah. But we think that we can achieve the democracy is where it is stronger, is where we get democracy in the workplaces itself. And
So, I mean, okay, these are very, very, very good demands. But how do we actually hope that, you know, this can actually reach the people that needs to be? I mean, who are you hoping to target, you know, with these demands?
So, as we have written in our, what is it called, for action, these demands is not specifically for whoever would come. This is what the demands that you should be supporting. That is just it. It is not that. What we are calling is when people would come for the march, they will expand this demands. For example, like for stop the destruction of the environment, like Suba said, we want women to participate more in this planning of buildings or constructing.
I guess what we are saying is that, number one, there needs to be reclaiming what we need, and that's why we are targeting everyone on the ground to say that we need these five things, but not only these five things. The first step to actually solving a problem is to be aware of the problem and that you are being oppressed. Mm-hmm. For example, to destroy rape culture and sexual violence, we need everyone to recognize that there is a rape culture. We need men at every level to recognize that they have a power relation and that this difference in power is propagated and made worse in a society that upholds rape culture. Everyone can take their own step at an individual level, but it also goes out into organizing yourselves and demanding that policymakers take concrete steps to put into law and implement and account for what they are doing. For example, the Domestic Violence Act, we took 30 years to fight for it, and I think it's still a work in progress. It is a bottom-up and a top-down approach as well. Everyone has to recognize the problem to get it solved. However, laws are not just the only solution. We need to tackle stigma. We need to tackle the social, cultural norms that actually propagate patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And for example, that continue propagating acts of violence against women and let men get away with it and focused on, for example, victim-blaming behavior. So we can take a look at all ourselves, we can take a look at regulations and laws, and we can commit to actually creating a better space for all genders in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, what you're trying to say is, yes, we have made progress. I mean, wonderful, we've got the gender discrimination law in place, but there's still things that need to be worked for. For example, marital rape is still not criminalized.
Correct, yes.
You know, stalking is not a it's not a crime. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much more that needs to be done. Like you mentioned earlier as well, you know, the internet is a whole new space that has become another threat to an easy target for women who to be trolled, to be, you know, harassed, to be, I mean, not just women, everybody, but
Mm-hmm. I wanted to add about the women refugees, where there's a lot of leaders who could not explain the situation. Some would say, bring this refugee back to their own country or bring them in. But when they bring them in, they will only be like a slave wage, where they get a little amount of money to live in a new country that they're living in. So in this refugee crisis, women in all sorts of colours are being affected in this situation. So the change that, like Suba said, it should not come to only in a political elite changes, but it should come from the bottom and then changing up the whole system.
Which is why we chose Reclaim Our Space as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to be just given bits and pieces of spaces. We don't want to be told, like, you know, you can deal here but not there. Yeah. We want to reclaim our space. And for that, like Kira said, we need to recognize and reclaim our rights for ourselves, because it is a right of every individual. And not something that is given to us, or we are hoping some other authority would give to us.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just a strategy for a way forward, right? Yes, we've come so far, but, you know, there's so much more that needs to be done.
Yes.
I was reading about last year's march, I mean, there was a lot of positive comments about it and a lot of, you know, support for it. But there were also some very some negative comments, which maybe you guys would like to address. Mm-hmm. Some people on Twitter put, "Can anyone explain to me what the exact motive of Women's March KL is? Are you just doing it to keep up with the Western feminists?" This is something at Twitter.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I would say we will keep on marching, because this the oppression is still there. But of course, marching will not be enough. There will be a lot more grassroots works that we need to do. Mm-hmm. But marching, like we said before, it not only just symbolizes the International Women's Day, where it happened more than 100 years ago, but it would also mean to continue the struggle. But, well, it is a troll that they don't understand what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's always, always this comment like, oh, you're just trying to be like Western feminist. But I mean, feminism kind of did start from the West, and obviously we adopt different methods, I suppose.
I would disagree that feminism did start from the West. Maybe the narrative of feminism that
we know now
does. But women in our part of the world have always been in the forefront. Yeah. Women in our part of the world have always been breadwinners and participating in the economy, making political decisions, making nation-building decisions. However, the system of patriarchy that has been propagated does not actually highlight the voices of women that were previously fighting the war, that were previously, for example, fighting for independence, and also working every day and night to bring up 10 children while the man is just the highlight and figure of the family. So feminism is actually a core thread. The study of feminism in the South, for example, when we talk about the South countries in the world, the Southern countries in the world, in India, for example, there's a strong tradition of feminist scholars. even I would say in East Asia, there's a strong feminist building, especially in solidarity towards governments. So it's just that the voices are there, and if we are willing to hear the narratives and arguments that are being put out, to the response to last year's march, yes, it was a handful of, I would say, brave women that went out and actually wanted their voices to be heard. Mm-hmm. We're so proud that they reclaimed their spaces. We hope that they will come this year as well, because we are the Jawatan Kuasa Hari Wanita Sedunia 2018. We stand in solidarity with them. And that is the struggle, actually. Being in solidarity and seeing a movement with you actually spurs new ideas, new revolutions, and new movements to actually to get our demands done. Every one of us is working very hard on the ground and trying to make our improvements at every level in our own issues. It's a wide variety of issues. Yeah. But what we want is to have an equal space in which we, voices as women, people who identify as women, and anyone, regardless of gender, actually, to be given that space to be seen. And I feel the march in solidarity is a very good way of... it's a non-violent revolution that we are starting, and the march will go on.
Yes.
I guess, I mean, it's simple. You're just asking for basic human rights, aren't you? So nothing really controversial. There's nothing really terrible about it. It's really quite simple demands that you are asking for that should be afforded to anybody.
Yeah, one would think that equality should be afforded to anybody. Yeah, the thing is that, you know, inequality benefits certain individuals. And as long as you don't recognize, you don't recognize your privilege, it is very difficult for any individual to release that privilege. So that's what we're fighting for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so that is happening tomorrow, which is the 10th of March, on Saturday. So, I mean, if anybody's interested to join, you know, you ladies and all the other ladies and, and men and women who are going to be marching, how can they do that?
Well, it will be happening on Saturday at 10 a.m. and we'll be gathering in front of SOGO. And so when you come, when whoever will be participating, don't come empty-handed. Come with your messages, come with your slogans, and let's build solidarity, let's talk and let's discuss with each other, and let's build an alternative from there. Yes.
We'd also like to invite all organizations that would like to send representatives to give a short, tiny speech. It can be anything, a performance, a spoken word, a pop-up station. So at the end of the march, we are planning to give small sessions to each group. And if you'd like to come and speak, please get in touch with us. And we will definitely put you on the list because we want as many voices to be heard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think it's important to mention that this is a nonpartisan organization, right? It is it's totally grassroots. Yeah. Okay. And so that's happening tomorrow. What is there any website or a Facebook page that people can go to find out more?
Yeah, you can go to Facebook at Hari Wanita Sedunia. Or you can even call a number, 016-2208-784, if you have any questions on information around the march. But most information are on our Facebook or Twitter pages.
Okay.
You can also tweet at hashtag Women's March MY or hashtag Wanita Bangkit.
Okay, all right. And I guess my final question would be, how do you hope this conversation will continue? I mean, yes, the march is wonderful and, you know, it will have that nice impact, but how do you hope that will keep, you know, the conversation will keep going?
Well, of course, like what I said before, when they come to the march, don't come in empty-handed, come with ideas that how can we build an alternative, how can we build solidarity. And like we said before, it is just a march where we celebrate the symbol of Women's Day, but it's also a day that we meet each other and we talk, and we from there we should start organizing. Yeah.
So if you're interested in continuing this conversation, especially as we head into the next general election, the women's groups coordinated by Empower and the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality have come up with a comprehensive set of demands called the Women's Manifesto. The Women's Manifesto was launched on International Women's Day on the 8th of March, and it's an opportunity for election candidates to champion the women's agenda. We want to inform Malaysians on the state of women's rights and gender at now and what we can do to get our politicians to demand and demand from them a change for a better government, for a better environment and for women's rights.
Okay, all right. And I guess, you know, anyone listening, you know, can get in touch and, you know, start conversations just among their friends as well. You know, even if they can't make it to the march, you know, there's so many ways that we can, I guess, spark change, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you for having us. And we look forward to seeing everyone on the street and reclaim our space.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Subhatra Jayaraj. She's an exco member of the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Shakira Shauki, who is with the Gerakan Pembebasan Wanita. And we were discussing the Women's March 2018, which is happening tomorrow in KL, downtown KL. And if you'd like to get in touch, just search for Hari Wanita Sedunia on Facebook, and you can also look for that on Twitter as well. If you missed any part of this interview, or if you'd like to get in, or if you'd like to listen to previous Feminist Fridays interviews, do download the podcasts, which are available on our BFM app, which is available on Google Play and the App Store. You've been listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.